The word today is name. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. There are 208 names for Jesus in the New Testament. Each name adds a description of who Jesus is and what he does for us. He is everything we need for life and eternity. Here from our archives with some of these names and their meaning is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Name.
We know that the only true God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one Godhead. And the Holy Scriptures tell us all about those three persons in the Trinity, in the Godhead. One God, not three, one God. And yet the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are given names throughout the Holy Scriptures. I'd like to talk about the names for Jesus. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, there are over 208 different names given for Jesus. It's just fantastic how many names there are that describe Jesus and give us his name. You know, I believe what we could do, which would be beneficial to everybody, is just think about some of those names, and I'd like to talk about several of them briefly. For instance, in Revelation, the book of Revelation, you know I don't go there very often, but there are some names there where Jesus is described as the Alpha and the Omega. Now, if we were putting it in English, we'd say A to Z because it means the first letter of the alphabet and the last letter. What it's talking about is the beginning and the end. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet, and so it says Alpha, which is the first letter. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, meaning the beginning and the end. Beautiful thought. That he is everything, in other words, inclusively. He is all things. He is the Almighty God. He is the Amen. I love that name for him. That's also in the third chapter of Revelation. He is the chief cornerstone, referring to the building of the church. He is the Christ. He is the Creator. He is the Deliverer. He is the door, talking about the sheepfold in John 10. He is eternal life. He is the firstborn of the dead, referring to his resurrection and the fact that we will follow him because he has defeated the power of death. He is God. We know that. He is the second person in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the great shepherd, watching the flock of his church. He is the head of the church. You know, he is the high priest, meaning he gave his life for us. He is holy. He is the gift of salvation. He is the I am, meaning he is everything. You know, I think what I'm going to do for the rest of the broadcast today is just refer you to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. By the way, that's a fantastic chapter. It should be marked in your scriptures as one of the main chapters. I would hope that you'd read it at least once a year, probably several times a year would be even better, because it's so loaded and it's so beautiful. And among the things there, Jesus refers himself by three different names. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now let's just think about those three words that Jesus uses for himself. He is the way. You know, if you've done a bit of traveling throughout your life, you will realize that sometimes if you're traveling, especially, let's say, in Europe, the people in Europe try to be so polite and so nice that they don't want to be offensive by acting as though they don't know the answer to the question you've asked. It took me several years to learn this until I finally realized that they're going to make up an answer. They don't want to say, I don't know, or they don't want to tell you that they don't know. They want you to be helped, and they're trying to help, and so they'll give you directions. If you say, I'd like to know where the post office is, well, maybe they don't really know, but they're going to try to help you. And they'll say, well, go two blocks this way, and you'll see a big church, make a right-hand turn, and so on. And before long, you realize they weren't really giving you the directions because they didn't know what they were, but they didn't want to tell you, I don't know, or I can't help you. They wanted to try to help. So in that process, they give you some directions. Well, pretty soon you learn, probably if you're going to ask for directions, you ought to ask somebody in authority. For instance, a policeman. Generally, the policemen know, and they have a little better knowledge, so you walk up and ask a policeman, how do you get to the post office? Or I would usually look around and see if there was a bank or if there was a high-class store of some sort. I'd go in, ask to speak to the owner, and ask them. And usually they could give you pretty good directions, or they'd help you look it up in a phone book and find the answer. Now, the point I'm trying to get at is there are a lot of people that give you answers to your questions that may not be correct. They may not really know the way to go that you're asking for. And Jesus is not saying here, I know the way, and he's not saying, I have a pretty good idea what the way is. Jesus is making it very clear, I am the way. I am the way. It would be just like somebody that you were asking for directions saying, well, I know exactly where that is. I'm going there myself. Why don't you come with me? That's what Jesus is saying. I know the way, and he's speaking of the way to heaven. In fact, if you read John 14, and I certainly hope you will, like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I hope you'll read it and reread it and reread it so that you really get to know it because it's so beautiful. And in this chapter, it makes it very clear there is no other way to heaven except Jesus. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one Savior, and he is the way. Through his suffering, death, and resurrection, we have the forgiveness of our sins if we trust in Jesus as our Savior. He is the way to heaven, and that's the important name that he's giving to himself here in John 14. I am the way. Now, the second name he gives himself is, I am the truth. Now, once again, you probably can remember back to when you were a little child, you believed a few things that you found out later weren't true, and maybe somebody even teased you a little bit. You know, when you're kind of innocent, so to speak, and you don't know a whole lot, people try to play tricks on you, especially older people try to tease you. I know in Iowa, growing up in Iowa, there was a standard thing as you began to get a little older. Somebody would trick you into going shitepoke hunting. And, of course, they used different names for that. There is no such thing as that. But they would use some name like that, and they'd give you a flashlight at night and tell you to go hunt. And you'd be out there trying to find one of these things. And, of course, they didn't exist. And everyone was laughing their head off at how naive you were and how simple-minded you were to believe such a story. As a matter of fact, there are all kinds of stories like that, things that we were told. For instance, Santa Claus is one of those types of things that a lot of kids believed in at one time, and at one age is what I'm referring to, and then they found out later, well, there is no such thing. Well, in the process, Jesus is saying here, not I am pretty true, or I am mostly true. He is saying, I am truth, period. That's it. I am the truth. And that's why I like to refer to the Bible as the only true source of accurate information on any subject. I don't care what the subject is. You know, some people get all concerned and they say, the Bible is not a scientific book, so you shouldn't go to it and ask questions of science, or it's not a geography book, and it's not a road atlas that you shouldn't go for directions and so on. Well, let me tell you something. In all the archaeology that's been going on for hundreds of years now, the archaeologists will tell you the authenticity of the Holy Scriptures, mentioning the different people. For many, many years, the historian said there was no such thing as Pilate, no man by the name of Pilate. Well, they found out they were wrong. Pilate has been found on a slab over in Israel that was dug up archaeologically with his name on it. And so now everyone agrees there was a Pilate. You know, you can take town after town, all the resources and so on. The Bible is accurate, even geographically. Of course it is. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. And God is saying here in His Son, Jesus Christ, I am the truth. When you hear me speak, I am speaking for my Father. I am telling you what my Father wants you to know. I have come to declare to you the will of my Father, and He has sent me to suffer and die on the cross in your place so that you can have salvation. This is truth. This is factual. This is positively accurate. And so Jesus, in the Word of God, in His Bible, is telling you the truth. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is life. As a matter of fact, any aspect of life is Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you really don't have life. Not real life, not eternal life, not life that is forever. And so in Jesus Christ, I want you to understand all these names, 208 of them, in God's Word, describe Jesus and name Jesus, 208 of them. And here are three of them in John 14. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I hope this will become one of your favorite chapters, and I hope that these three words for Jesus will become very important to you and meaningful to you. He is the way. The only way, right here in John 14, it says there is no way to come to the Father except through Jesus. There it is. There's one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness that He earned for us on the cross by taking our place and paying the penalty of our sins. Beautiful names for Jesus. I'd like to continue this thought next week, and I'm going to do that and give you a couple more names to think about, names for Jesus. May God bless you and keep you in His loving care.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.